Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
I was desperately a huge Michael Jackson fan and in love with him. When Thriller came out, it was 1984. I was turning 12, and that's all I wanted for my birthday. I remember opening, the album was wrapped in, you know, in gift wrap. And it was like, they got it, it's Thriller. And I opened it, and it was the album for the soundtrack of Godspell. And literally, I can still remember my face just fought, like, really? Like, prepare ye the way of the Lord, I want beat it.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, in honor of Father's Day, we present a battle for the ages. One girl struggled to convince her strict Catholic dad that not all boys should be off limits.
I was not allowed to have a serious boyfriend. In his mind, nothing was wholesome. It wouldn't have mattered if it was a boy who was headed for the seminary.
Here's Carolyn on stage at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland.
I was in a cult for 13 years. Others called it Catholic school. And tonight, I will be reading you some diary entries written between 1980 and 1986, when I was the scholarship student at a wealthy private Catholic girls' school in upstate New York, and the eldest and only daughter of a very strict father. My dad forbade me to watch most television shows or listen to rock music, so I got creative. I told my dad that the song Layla was written by a missionary girl. And that it was by the Reverend Eric Clapton. I had budding hormones, but I wasn't allowed to date, so I pined after teen heartthrobs and 80s soap opera stars. December 13th, 1982, from the Judy Blum Diary. Dear Journal, I am in love with Ricky Schroeder, otherwise known as the Ricker. He's really cute, and I think he's my age. What a hunk. It's just like that Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney song, The Girl Is Mine, only I changed the lyrics to, don't waste your time, because the doggone Ricker is mine. In the Judy Blum Diary, you were supposed to give a grade at the end of every day to each day, as in today was an A-plus day, a bad day was an F day. Instead, I decided to grade the only boys I knew. December 15th, 1982. Dear Journal, today I'm going to start a boys list. Here is my boys list. Number one, Ricky Schroeder, the Ricker, A+. Yes! Two, Rob Flagler, mysterious guy from church, B+. Three, school janitor. B. Four. Who knows? Because I didn't know anyone else. The following is a letter that I wrote and sent to Aaron Spelling, producer of The Love Boat in 1982. Nice. Dear Aaron Spelling, my dad forbids me to watch The Love Boat. This is a big problem because it's my favorite show. My dad objects to the premarital sex that runs rampant on your show. He says it's inappropriate and not allowed anymore in our house or Fantasy Island, which happens to be my second favorite show. I usually go to my grandparents' house. They let me watch both, and my grandmother said she would buy me the stamp to put on this letter so that it gets to you in Studio City, California, where I had to squint a bunch of times in front of the TV at the end of the show to figure out where to send this letter to. It took me a bunch of weeks to figure it out. Sir, I am writing to ask you if there is any way you could stop having the characters put those do not disturb signs on the doors of the cabins when they are going to have the premarital sex. Because that is what started this whole thing in the first place. I asked my mom the reason why they have to put the do not disturb signs on the doors. But then my dad came in the room and said, "That's it. You can't watch The Love Boat anymore, Carolyn, and don't ask again." So I asked my babysitter, Mary Ellen, what the signs mean. She goes to Maria College, and she loves the show, but she says that Doc and Gopher are, quote, always trying to get laid, spelled L-A-D-E, when they are supposed to be at work. And maybe that's why my dad won't let me watch it. She said, it's so that the maids don't walk in when they are having the sex. But couldn't they just lock the door? Mary Ellen also told me that I couldn't like the guy from Air Supply because he's gay. And when I asked my mom what that meant, she said that Mary Ellen wasn't going to be our babysitter anymore. My best friend, Melissa, and I often play Love Boat when we go outside at recess. She is married to Gopher, Mr. Fred Grandy, and I am married to Doc, Mr. Bernie Koppel, and we pretend we are on the Acapulco Lounge. Isaac is good too, but I don't think it would be okay for me to like a black guy. Because I already got in big trouble when I fell in love with Mr. Reggie Jackson, and my grandfather said, "You can't like him. You're Italian. You have to like Lou Piniella." Well, Mr. Spelling, I really love your show. And that's the reason I wrote this letter to you, even though my grandma said it's going to go to a secretary. But maybe you'll read it because you have a daughter who is my age, and you might feel sorry for me. I hope so. Sincerely yours, Carolyn Martone, age 10, Albany, New York. So after my parents told me it was inappropriate to like black guys, I became obsessed with the Cream of Wheat Man and began cutting his picture off of those red cereal boxes and pasting them around my bedroom. In 1984, I entered a famous Black American essay contest sponsored by the YMCA. And I won. Thanks. Thank you. So I can't find the essay I wrote, but I think it was about Reggie Jackson, because after some recent research, I found out that the Cream of Wheat Man was actually not American or African or even real, but actually from Barbados. A character from Barbados. February 15th, 8th grade. Dear Journal, Friday night there was a Valentine's Day dance at St. Gregory's. Liza, Allison, Kim, and Michelle all met boys there and got their phone numbers. I didn't dance with anyone. I acted really shy. I've decided not to hang around with any more people. April 7th, 1986. Dear Journal, big news. I won tickets on the radio to see Pete from Days of Our Lives at the car show at the Armory. It's this weekend and I'm so excited. 99 WGFM is having the ninth caller go out on a date with him. I doubt I'll win, but if I did win, I'll die. I'll let you know what happens, Journal. I love you, Pete. April 14th, 1986. Dear Journal, this weekend was the best ever. I know that I will remember it for the rest of my life. I met Pete. I love him. He's so gorgeous. I got his picture, 24 of him. I cannot wait until they are developed. Sometime next week. I don't know, however, who won the date with him because you had to be 21 or older to enter. Some dumb old housewife, probably. But I will love Pete forever. In high school at the Academy of the Holy Names, there was an annual formal called the Father-Daughter Dinner Dance. It was kind of like going to a prom with your dad. And wrist corsages.
The father-daughter dinner dance was a tradition that started there probably in the 1950s or 60s. The dance at the time made me cringe. And I went all 4 years because my dad wanted to go. Bless his heart. 1 year, I actually faked sick. And my mom came in my room and said, "This is going to break Dad's heart. Like, you please just, it's one more year, Carolyn, just go." The irony now is like I couldn't have a normal relationship with a sweet 16-year-old boy, but I could slow dance with my dad to a Roberta Flack song about getting it on. That's just totally absurd.
Sophomore year, they actually called us all to the dance floor while the band played the song, "Tonight I Celebrate My Love for You." I found this to be quite awkward, especially when I realized that this song is about a couple having sex for the first time. But you're slow dancing with your father. So I decided to write my own lyrics to the song to mock the situation. "Tonight, I celebrate my love for you, and soon this whole world's gonna seem brand new. Tonight, there'll be no distance between us, just the length of my father's penis. What I want most to do is not get that close to you tonight." Thank you, Portland.
That was Carolyn Martone reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness in Portland at the Alberta Rose. We caught up with Carolyn in our postmortem, Fide, and asked if she ever heard back from Aaron Spelling.
I never got a response. We cannot necessarily blame Mr. Spelling because maybe my grandmother didn't mail it and was humoring me. I don't know.
Of course, the Love Boat never stopped using those do not disturb signs for the sex. And thus, watching the show remained the forbidden fruit of the Martone household. To be fair, Carolyn's dad allowed some pop culture.
Jeffersons and Alice were allowed. Welcome Back, Cotter, The Muppet Show. Silver Spoons. I was allowed to watch that. Everything else was off limits. Three's Company wasn't allowed, and I love that show. He thought that Jack Tripper was like banging both of Janet and Chrissy.
Carolyn's dad may have been as paranoid as Mr. Furley, but every once in a blue moon, he made an exception.
I think I was about, I don't know, 7 or 8, and an old man who was a neighbor of ours who used to like sit on his porch and who I'd see, who was this total sweetheart. He passed away, and I remember just bawling my eyes out, like, and I was sobbing uncontrollably. And that night, my dad let me watch Three's Company.
Recently, Carolyn's dad admitted maybe he was a little too overprotective when it came to things like The Love Boat. But back when his TV restrictions were still in full effect, Carolyn always found a way to get her weekly fix.
In secret at my grandparents' house, every Friday afternoon after school, Mimi and Papa would be there in their blue Chevy Nova to pick me up. Their apartment was my sanctuary, and it was my world. All the things that they allowed, my parents didn't know about, much of which was The Love Boat and Fantasy Island and setting up shop at 7 p.m. in my Alice in Wonderland sleeping bag. I remember my grandmother would let me drink espresso with condensed milk, and that was everything. Those Saturday nights were the best part of my childhood.
So just so she could have crushes on guys who were on vacation, Carolyn would pack a bag and go on her own weekend vacations. Which begs the question, what was so damn important about the Love Boat in the first place?
To me, what it represented was the show always had a happy ending. I identified with the romantic, stupid relationships because they were like fantasies and not based in reality. I lost 4 people in the same year that were all caregivers when I was 9. My grandmother, my grade school principal, who I adored, my babysitter, Kathleen, who was only 17 and who died of leukemia. And the 4th was a very tragic sudden car accident of my parents' friend, who was an Irish missionary priest. Those 4 deaths occurred in 2 months in early 1982, and it changed me forever in terms of that was kind of the end of a lot of innocence and naivety of childhood for me. I needed the Love Boat because it was there for me, and I could turn to it, and nothing bad was going to happen in that hour in my life.
It's fascinating how one person's hokey TV show can just as easily be someone else's savior. Recently, Carolyn was diagnosed with breast cancer. And as she focuses on beating it, she's once again finding comfort and strength from her favorite childhood TV show.
I've been watching The Love Boat again for the first time in 30 years. So it's interesting because I shared that with my father literally in the past 2 weeks. To actually watch an episode or say the pilot episode of The Love Boat with my father, I think it would be a very little dream come true in certain ways for my childhood self. I think it would be sweet. I don't know that he would sit through an hour episode. He's very, very, very picky, but it would be really sweet if he did.
As of this recording, Carolyn and her father finally sat down and watched an episode of The Love Boat. And after all these years, he was actually surprised at just how tame the show was, which, as you can imagine, might have ticked off Carolyn. But she promises she's not harboring any ill will towards her dad.
I gotta say, now, this show was total cheese. I mean, it's the equivalent of, like, watching the Kardashians or some nonsense now, right? I can't fault the guy entirely for wanting me to spend my time in better ways. I mean, he's right. I should have been reading Charlotte's Web or Anne of Green Gables and not watching the freaking Love Boat.
Carolyn's story made you laugh or impacted you in any way. We hope you'll consider joining the Mortified team by contributing funds to help her cover her medical expenses so she can kick cancer's ass. Visit GoFundMe.com/curingCarolyn to see her progress. To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this very series. If you'd like your company to sponsor the show, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Speaking of which, this show is a proud member of Radiotopia from PureX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. This was produced for the stage by Scott Lifton. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, Zoe Rose Palladino, The Angel, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Eric Bass, Tamar Avishai, Lance Roberts Studios, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.